Welcome to the Abundant Wellness with Andrea podcast, from surviving to thriving in mind, body, and spirit. Hey there, I'm Andrea Jones, registered nurse, functional hormone coach, inner healing and deliverance pastor, and most importantly, wife and mother of two beautiful girls. This podcast is really a conversation about how to discover and walk in an abundant life that God has laid out for us while processing what I call the messy middle, pain, and overcoming things in our life that are hard in order to nurture all of the parts of you so that you can walk in abundant wellness in all areas. Started. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Abundant Wellness Podcast. We have the immense privilege of getting to have Miss Lori Bean here today. She is a fellow Pandas mom. And so we've interacted on, you know, different community groups for our kiddos with pandas. And I thought it would be awesome to have her on here sharing a little bit about her journey for herself as the mom, as the primary caregiver, but also just that journey of navigating pans and pandas. And just to kind of differentiate the two, pandas is pediatric acute neuropsychiatric disorder associated with strep. So that means it was caused by a strep infection. PANS is basically the big umbrella term for neuropsychiatric symptoms that are caused by everything else. So like mold, Lyme, Bartonella, all of those other viruses, infections, environmental toxins. So did I get that right? I'm like, I should know this by now, but
I know. It's still I should have the elevator pitch down and it still comes out different every time.
It's perfect. And I get through PAN and then my brain glitches and I'm like, disorder? What's the word? Okay. So anyways, if you're confused and you're new, that's okay. We're, you know, 4 or 5 years in and we're still figuring it out. But I'm so excited to have you on here because I get moms coming to me, I'm sure you do as well, frequently on the podcast that are asking questions about their child's behavior. And no, it can't be pandas because they, you know, never had an infection or the infection was 6 months ago. And I just think it's really important to share our stories and our children's stories so that parents can identify what's going on with their child and get them the help that they need. So thank you for being on here. And why don't you go ahead and just kick it off and share, you know, where did your journey with pandas begin?
I think you touched on something really interesting because I have met a lot of people that have come to me in the community because people know me as the Pandas mom where I live. And people ask me questions and they'll read stuff online about that sudden onset. And I think that's a big misnomer. I think it's also very subjective. And so I do think sharing our stories, because they all look very different, helps people understand. Because I've actually had people who have talked to me and then they'll rule it out completely. But then I'll hear from them 2 years later and say, you know what, I think it really is that.
Yes.
So it's very interesting. For us, so I have two daughters, two pandas. The oldest one went first, about after her four-year-old vaccines, to be honest with you. And I think that was a trigger. And I think we should clarify also that when we say trigger, I don't blame them. I think there's a place for all the different kinds of modalities and things in the world, but it depends on your susceptibility, right? So for my kids, that was the thing that tipped her over.
Same.
And I didn't actually recognize that right away. I didn't know about pandas. So when people think it has to be sudden onset, well, if you don't know what pandas or pans is, you've never heard of it, your doctor's never heard of it or poo-poos it, whatever. And then you have some weird behavior afterwards, you kind of just deny that that's what you're seeing, I guess. Or you blame it on age-appropriate behaviors. So that four-year age was tricky. So we did see behaviors, but when we talk about that sudden onset, maybe it did happen like literally right after, but I wasn't in that mindset. Right. So I don't consider it immediately after. And that's what I think. That's such a weird thing. Anyways, so she started, I'm going to go ahead and say rage. I mean, that's a very common term in Pandaland. she started having these episodes and impulsivity and just kind of manic. And it was very not who she was ever. We had just had younger sis. So let's see, four. So younger sis would have been one. So I was thinking, okay, she doesn't want a sibling. And we're going through that kind of stuff, you know, like
Yeah,
she's,
psychological stuff.
yes, and misbehaving for attention, stuff like that. But then it just kept getting worse and worse. And no matter what we were trying to do, discipline wise or whatever, you know, it wasn't changing. I honestly don't even remember how I heard about pandas just by going down the rabbit holes at night. I found a group, one of our groups. I looked into it. I remember calling my mom late at night after we had finally got the girls to bed and said, "Have you ever heard of this thing?" And she kind of freaked out. Because I think I'm a panda now, and that's all. Well, you can probably get into
Right,
that. But
same.
yeah, so she had heard about it back when I was a kid in the early 90s. And she kind of was taken aback. Like, why did you even say that? She hadn't heard that term since then. And back then they wrote it off. There was one woman who was, you know, claiming it was a thing and nobody was believing her. So anyway, that led me to, yes, that's what it is. And then I started researching doctors and that good stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have very parallel stories, and I fully agree with you that when I started doing the research as well, it was the acute onset that kind of threw me off, because there was some vague windows of time that were like, it's not acute, but it's not chronic, and I don't know what this is. And we had our situation was very similar in that she got her kindergarten shot, so like I think she was 4 and a half, she was almost five. Just had younger sister as well. Younger sister was I think 6 months at the time, and very clearly was different after those vaccines. But she was not fully tipped over into pandas land, I wouldn't say, but there were definitely sensory issues, food allergy issues, mood issues that we had not had before. And again, you know, we were in the same kind of headspace where it was like, is this behavioral? Is she going to grow out of this? Is this a phase? Like, what should we be concerned about? You know, and then when she got strep, it was like any threshold that she had left was completely gone. It blew the lid off of everything. And then it was acute. And then it was in the forefront of my mind of, I know what this is. I hope to God that I'm wrong, because I knew the belief systems in the medical community. I'm a pediatric nurse. I had seen one patient in, I'm trying to think, how many years was I there? 12, that was actually diagnosed as pandas. Now I know, looking back, I'm like, there were a lot more pandas kids, you know, and especially like I can think of at least five or six off the top of my head that, like, without question, they would now be, with the right assessments, they would have been diagnosed as that. But I knew what I was up against, and I was terrified of that, because I knew that this was, it's just that sinking pit in your stomach feeling of, now I know the fight that we're up against, and that this is going to be a long haul, that even getting on antibiotics right away is not going to fix this. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was just like that realization kind of settles in, and then what do you do, right? So, okay, so now Poppy is diagnosed, and or ha tell me a little bit about the diagnosis process for you guys. What did that look like for you? Did you go immediately to homeopathy, or did you go to, like, what was that process like?
So I think you just nailed it, that it's an uphill battle at that point. And I think the hardest part for parents is when you figure it out, then you have to find someone who's going to go on this journey with you,
Right.
doctor wise.
Yes.
And that is a whole thing in itself. Yeah. So as far as getting officially diagnosed, I went to our ped and I started bringing some of this stuff up. And of course, they didn't totally know. They didn't totally poo-poo me, but I could just tell that they weren't going to be the ones to, you know, go on this journey with me. So I did end up switching pediatricians to one who I figured would at least be more amenable to like vaccine schedules and everything else, since when I was sure that that was our most latest trigger. And so we're with that pee now, and they're nice people. They still don't go on the journey with us, by the way.
Sure.
But they're there if I need, labs or whatever
Yeah,
else. But we
right.
really don't see them that often. So we did not get diagnosed from them. So I started looking for specialists. So I went back to the Google machine, and there wasn't a whole bunch around us. And I found this functional lady down in like Los Angeles. So we're north of Los Angeles. And there was a little tagline on her website that said pandas. And really, that's as much as I could get. That was local, that whatever. So that was my first attempt at let's go get this diagnosis. And I should have said also how we put the pandas part together because of the behaviors. Because there was other things too, but I wasn't putting it in the pandas bucket. The chronic belly aches and the she lost her ability to, handwriting had regressed, that kind of stuff. But she started having these rashes that she's honestly probably had a year prior, and we wrote it off as not diaper rash, but like a yeast infection. And so when we had gone to the ped, they always said throw some cream on it. Well, for whatever reason, well, that's a whole long story too. Aren't they all long stories?
I know. There's a million micro stories inside the bigger story. I know. Yeah,
There's
it's
all these
okay.
arms that go out. So stay
Yeah,
focused. I'm staying
you're
focused.
doing great. You're doing great.
Thanks. So, we ended up putting together that when the behaviors came out, she had this rash. And that's what led me to learn about perianal strep because we never had strep up here ever.
Hey,
Ever,
really
never, 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 never.
interesting.
Yes. So the reason it would always come back is because it wasn't yeast. And so we were just throwing some topical cream on it, which of course, palliated for a hot second, and then it would come back, and then the behaviors would be back. So once we pieced that together, that's what led us there. So we go down to the specialist, and it was very traumatic, little kid taking her down out of school, and we were going to go do all these tests, and I really don't know what it's going to $4,000 and things, the blood test, pee test, the skin test, the muscle test, the
Everything.
breath test. And she said, yes, it's PMS. And so she put us on a regimen. And functional med, for those who aren't aware out there, you'll probably say this better than I will, but natural herbal stuff, supplements, different kinds of therapies.
Yes.
What else? Minerals, vitamins, I don't know.
Dietary changes, dietary changes, but yeah, it's minerals, supplements, very, very rarely prescription meds, but sometimes they'll use those as
Yeah.
well, depending on their designation. Yeah.
So she kind of gave us this outline and we kind of made a plan. So I want to say for between 6 months to a year, we stuck hardcore to that plan. We changed the diet, gluten-free, sugar-free, dairy-free. We were even doing celery juice every morning. And then we had, I called it my science lab, our kitchen. I had all the little bottles lined up, right? And you have to administer like multiple times a day. So there's sometimes I would go down to the school and of course, it never tastes good, all these droppers of all these things. And then I think we even started LDI, which is like immunotherapy, right? I didn't hang out there very long. One, it just wasn't conducive to our lifestyle. Poppy hated it. I hated it. It wasn't very clear what was happening. And I think the biggest part of that, because I am a fan of functional too, is that I didn't have a doctor that I was working with that was educating us or that was accessible.
Right.
So
Yes.
that's the thing that
The big
really turned me
deal.
off. Yeah, not necessarily the modality or the
Yes.
approach.
Right.
So I started going back down, and in one of the groups, I heard about that homeopathy group and I was like, I'm going to go check that out. So I immediately joined, started following Resilience, and it really just resonated with me. And when I put it together that I thought, you know what, I'm a panda and I still have my tics. And this is explains a lot because I went through a whole battery of things when I was a kid trying to figure out my issues, and nothing touched it.
Right.
It's not a psych disorder, so psych meds are not going to fix it.
Right.
Yeah, so we got there to Resilience, and we had our diagnosis basically, and then we just went all in with the homeopathy.
Which is amazing. And that's a very similar route to what we took as well. And, I think that was maybe the most heartbreaking and frustrating part of our journey was that window of time between knowing what this is. Like, I don't need to research anymore. I now know what this is, but now I'm trying to find people that can help me. And like our closest specialist was like there were two, and there were 3 hours in each direction, so either direction, and the wait list was like 2 years. And I'm like, we don't have that much time with this. Like, it's already full-blown neuroinflammatory. This is only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And so thankfully, by divine appointment, we did end up finding somebody local that was a functional medicine doctor that kind of similar thing. We did all the testing. I think it was like, I don't know, $4,000 to $6,000 worth of testing. I don't even remember all the things that we did at that point. Everything. I know we did everything that we could at that point. And then it was like, felt like 30 bajillion pills and supplements in the morning, which, if you have a child with oppositional defiance disorder and rage, I know where all of my cortisol issues come from. We'll just put it that way. Like, you know what I'm saying, though? Because it's like, there, it is so stressful just trying to get them just take the
Oh,
supplement.
it was horrible. Every day was a fight.
Nightmare.
We got
Like,
through it, and I think I've kind of pushed it out of my memory a little bit, because it's night and day what we do now. But that was
And
even for a kid who didn't have this, it's not a fun. It's
no,
just it's just
I mean, I can barely remember to take my own supplements in the morning. Like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? And so it's a whole other thing. And so we had done that for about a year, and then again landed in the homeopathy group as well. And I don't remember feeling like a sense of desperation at that point, but just like more like a, I feel like we should be farther along. Like, I feel like we should be seeing more
Something.
changes. It's hard for me to know. Like, like you said, there wasn't a lot of education on what I should be seeing, what I should be expecting. And so, my husband and I, like, we're looking over this list of symptoms. And we're like, is this better? Like, maybe it's better. I don't really know. And so
It
same
was
thing.
really hard to tell. There was no relief after taking this stuff, and then there wasn't really long-term stuff. And knowing what I know now about homeopathy, I'm sure, if we would have gone the course. But again, you really need someone to handhold, because I don't know, you're a nurse, so you came from Western medicine background, and you expect things to stop. And if it doesn't work immediately, then you change course and you go, you do something different. So with no one there teaching me about that shift that has to be made, it just didn't seem sustainable for what we're doing. Plus, it was going to cost even more, right? You have to continue doing the labs and going back, and that 4,000, I mean, oh my God, it's crazy. I think about that now, like dropping 4K, and at the time we were so desperate, it was like, fine, whatever, I'll give
Whatever.
you my second born, whatever, here, I just need, I need a fixer. But that's just how it
Crazy.
goes.
And it does not. I was just talking to a friend about this today. I'm like, we, and I think this is an important thing to talk about because it's the thing that, it's not the most important thing, but when we talk about PANS and PANDAS or chronic illness or whatever, I think it is really important to talk about how this impacts us, right? Because it impacts you financially, it impacts you emotionally as a parent. It impacts you physically because of the physical load and burden that you're having to carry, right, of a child going through this illness. But I remember, like, we were pretty much debt free by, like, at that point in our lives. And it took 3 months to completely empty our savings. Like, and this is not, I don't think this is abnormal. I don't think we are abnormal for getting to that place. But because you have to do what you have to do, right? So it's like, we'll pay anything, to get her better. And so it was such a huge relief when we had spent all of our savings. And we're now, in this homeopathy group, Resilience Naturopathic, which I will put a link in the show notes because they are the best. I still believe that. They
I
are
do
the
too.
best.
I do too.
And there are really good homeopaths out there, but they are the best. And they are the best because I will tell you why I think they're the best, and you can kind of add your 2 cents in here. And this is not like, I don't get anything back for this. I don't get free appointments. I don't get anything like that for sharing. They just, if you need this, you need to go to them because they are just so good at what they do. In how they care for the families, I think that's the biggest thing, is that I've always felt in every single appointment that it wasn't just my child that they were taking care of. They were taking care of me too. And we need that as moms because this is the hardest thing you will ever go through. Hopefully. It's the hardest thing you will ever do. It's absolutely terrifying and awful in so many different ways. And like you said, you need that education because homeopathy is a different form of medicine. How you respond to it, how you react to it, how long it takes to see symptoms change. Like, for example, we were not expecting to see rage go, like, as the first sign. And I can't remember why I didn't think it would. Rage was our worst symptom, I think, at that time. I would say that was our worst symptom. And so I remember, like, lower your expectations. Rage is probably not the first thing to go. And so I was looking for all of the other things to change, right? Like urinary frequency and sleeping through the night and separation anxiety and oppositional defiance. But rage actually was the first thing to go. And so now I had a very clear indicator of how she's responding to this form of medicine. And I could see it. And I was not having to constantly chase her with herbal antibiotics and tinctures. And I just had to give her a little drop of her remedy. And sometimes I did have to bribe her because oppositional defiance is no joke. And I'm like, I will sit on you if you don't take your medicine. Like, you can take the peds nurse out of the hospital, but you can't. Yeah, I mean, it's all in there. And she didn't believe me, but I'm like, I have been trained in how to get medicine.
It.
So I will do whatever I have to do. But yeah, it was, for me, it was kind of this immediate sense of like, okay, I know this is exactly where we need to be. I know that it's going to be hard and I know that it's going to take a long time, but I have so much peace about just knowing that you're cared for, in this process. So, and it sounds like that's kind of what you just felt like this relief of like,
I
okay.
knew we were home. There is a difference. Like you said, there's many amazing homeopaths out there that can do all the things. But resilience is, they're the gurus. They've seen all the pandas things, pandas and pans. And they know how to tweak all the things. It's a different journey for pandas and pans versus someone else trying to acutely cure something, you know? The years of experience. Dr. Barr's personal experience, getting through
Absolutely.
her own pandas. She vets all the doctors. And I just think you're right, that they're very validating. And the education for me, after going from that functional doc who I couldn't get a hold of her and I really needed more to this place where honestly, we had to do the monthly follow-ups. And I don't know about you, but I looked forward to talking to my doctor. That was like my therapy.
Yeah, right. I know the
Yeah, and at the beginning, when it was really hairy, she's talking me off a ledge, right? That 30 minutes, okay, it's going to be all right. And here's what we're going to do. And she's like hand holding through the screen. I mean, it's something I've never experienced before in Doctor Land. No, they're quite brilliant. And I feel very lucky too. Poppy, I want to say the rage and impulsivity was one of the first things that went for us. That was like very eye-opening. And it was like we got our kid back. And I think I even did a post on that day, or one of the first things that happened, thereafter. I feel like she went on a Girl Scout trip or something, you know what I mean? That was just, oh my God, I can't even believe we made it. And she went without me, and it was a really big deal. So we had some positive reinforcement right away as well. And of course it came back. And like you said, it's supposed to come back. It's going to ebb and flow. Those symptoms are telling us where to go next and what we need to do. But if the doctor wasn't there telling me that and reminding me of that, I would have thought, oh, this isn't right. This isn't working. It keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. Well, that's,
That's the
par and
healing
form.
process.
That's the healing process.
And have you noticed, I'm curious for you, because I'm assuming, I guess I shouldn't assume, but I'm assuming you also now, like, you've been on a homeopathic journey for yourself. And so have you noticed that, like, interesting kind of ebb and flow for yourself with symptoms kind of popping up and like
For
coming
sure.
and going? I have for myself too, and it's weird and sometimes unrelated to anything else going on in my life. And all of a sudden, just boop, I'm like, wow, that's like a 20-year-old symptom that just poof came to the surface. So
Think there's so
curious.
many things I've pushed out of my brain, And then yes, you'll have something like that or an injury. A lot of times it'll be a return of you injured something and I, oh my God, remember when I was in my early 20s and I had done something to my ankle and it was a mystery illness back then too. No one could figure it out. I was in a brace and anyways, I started having pain down there. And so then I was reporting on that, and it was,
So
what's the word?
wild.
I don't know. Yeah, it is so wild. Anyways, it's, I feel always like it's a retracing of your life, but in reverse, right? So, and I always say, if I want to get rid of my hair pulling tick since, 1992, well, I'm working my way backward. And that clearly is the last one that's going to go, also because it's the one that annoys me
Right, of course.
the most. Yeah, it really is an interesting journey going backwards. I've had some new kinds of ticks pop up that I don't remember having either. It's almost like they've morphed a little bit. But it's okay. It's again, as quickly as they've come, they've also left, so you just keep chipping along. You just
Exactly. And I think, for me, watching my daughter go through this, like obviously I've had to relive some of my own stuff, which is painful and not fun to have to go through. But it's given me so much more compassion and understanding for my own journey in the sense of like, I'm not going to rush this process. Like, however long my body needs to take to heal this symptom, we're going to do whatever we need to do to get there, and so for me, I was the kid with chronic strep. I had strep all the time until I was 7 and they took out my tonsils, which that was all they knew how to do at the time. I didn't have any symptoms until I was 13. And then I pretty, well, I may
Interesting.
have had another infection at that time. I actually don't remember. I just remember a lot of brain fog and then like very clear OCD, like almost overnight OCD symptoms, like brain fog, and then it kind of rolled into something else. And so I remember my pediatrician saying, she could have this weird thing called PANDAS, but because it was an acute onset, I remember this conversation. Of course, now there's just so much more that we know about it, but it is interesting in that I think for so many of us moms, our children have actually been the catalyst for our own healing. Like actually addressing these things in a different way that maybe we would have kept ignoring had it not exploded into pandas, right? Maybe we would have just kept rolling along with life. I don't know. So how for you, raising a child with pandas for me has been the hardest thing I've ever had to do. For all of the reasons, it is all consuming. And not just from a behavioral standpoint, but from a financial standpoint, emotional resources, everything in your day becomes centered around what they need and beyond the age that they should need those things, right? Like developmentally. So how did that process as a mom, how did that impact you, in your physical health and your emotional health?
Oh my goodness. I still feel like I'm trying to get back to physical health. one of the reasons I think I started homeopathy for me was because I felt like I couldn't achieve any other self-care for myself since we were super hyper-focused on her all the time. That was the only thing I could do. I was like, okay, I can pop this remedy and just it's doing something in the background. I'm hoping that it is because I certainly was not exercising or eating right. It's catch as catch can. I think it's interesting, that you brought up the point that it made you more empathetic to your process, but also other people's processes in the world. I think this pandas, as well as so many other things that parents are going through, especially these children are facing, that half the world just doesn't get it.
They don't.
I feel like you have half the world that has been through some crazy stuff, and then the other half who somehow has not had to deal with any of those things, and so
I
they
know.
can't possibly fathom. And it's really weird. And it's like this line of delineation goes down the middle. So you end up finding your allies, and then you end up finding a lot of people who either don't have the bandwidth themselves or don't have empathy, or I don't know. It's fascinating, but it has definitely changed me as who I am and how I view the world, right? You never know what someone else is battling. It's a whole different perspective you have. But anyways, no, it's taken a toll on me physically. It's taken a toll on our marriage, and mentally, obviously. There was a lot of unlearning I had to do, right? Things maybe I grew up with thinking, and pandas didn't really allow for any of that anymore. Honestly, it just there's no space or room to do any of those things maybe that I had picked up along the way as survival coping mechanisms, right? I
Right.
don't have time for those things. So you have to learn anyway. If you don't, you get run over by pandas. So that's the only option. And I'm so grateful for it now. It's brought all of us together and made us stronger. But I couldn't see that at the beginning. You know what I mean?
No.
You go through this period of resentment.
It's a tornado.
It's a
You can't
tornado. Yeah,
see
you're just
anything.
constant survival. And you're just trying to stay above water. And then the magic of homeopathy happened, and at some point the clouds just parted enough to make me go, and then, oh God, I'm so sorry. And then I realized that I needed to do things differently. You know what I mean? Like you can keep trying to do all the same things, but once this hits, like you said, it just comes in hard and fast and furious, and you can't do that anymore. You're gonna run yourself into the ground, and it's gonna be your fault. So there was a big like awakening, right? And I'm sure the homeopathy helped me doing it, allowed me to embrace that journey and be like, okay, this is what we're doing now. We're going to dedicate our life to this, and we're putting in the work now for later. And also it's about choosing your heart. Yeah, it's hard. Family and friends didn't understand. Some of them still don't understand. I always hope they listen to this podcast and like it all becomes so clear. Like that's where they were these last whatever. Not always the case, right?
No, absolutely. You nailed it because it's that it is so incredibly hard, you know, and I'm a functional health coach. Like I work with people on, you know, developing self-care patterns to like sustain you through life, but the reality is that self-care had to look completely different. In the first, I would say, honestly, I think we were in some, well, I don't even want to say some level of fight or flight, like whatever the highest level of fight or flight is, for 4 years, probably 4 years, maybe 3.5, before we really started to see, like we were seeing lots of improvement, but before I felt like we could breathe, like we could go out to dinner and it wasn't a total poop show, you know, or there was enough signs of improvement that it's like you could start to see us all kind of relaxing a little bit. But you're totally right in that it forces you to major on the majors and let everything else go. And it changed relationships. It changed, you know, some of those relationships are permanently, well, I shouldn't say permanently because who knows what's going to happen. But as of right now, permanently
Seemingly permanent.
changed. Some of them permanently changed for the better, but it was like the people that stay are going to be the people that stay, and I just have to be okay with that. How this changes our marriage, you know, we've got to fight for that. We've got to fight for new ways of connection. We've got to fight through our triggers. We have to fight through our own trauma. We have to fight through the pain of this and how we're all grieving differently. And what that grief looks like now my youngest, she's 8, and so 5 years of her life, she's had a sister with pandas. And so now there's this little funny thing that happens where when her and her sister are wrestling and playing together, and I tell them to stop because they're too loud or somebody got hurt, she will just immediately start crying. And I had to ask her, I was like, Liv, what's going on? And she's like, for the first time in my life, I get to play with my sister and you ruined it. And so that's her little grief. It's not little. I don't even want to say it's little because that's the majority of her life, you know?
That's her reality.
That is her reality. And so for her, that's a really big deal for me to tell her to stop playing with her sister because that's all she's ever wanted for the last 5 years, you know? And so we're all in this weird, like, it's not a linear healing process. And like we know that because we've heard it a bajillion and a half times for the last however many years we've been doing homeopathy, but it's still very weird, like to be walking out the emotional and physical healing process of us recovering as a family because it's like one of us will move 2 steps ahead, and then the other person will move 2 steps to the right, and then 1 step back, and then 1 step forward. And we're never all like in the same
Nope.
place in
We're different
the
time continuums. God, that's so true. One of my kids just said the other day, is the youngest, of course. And she said something like, coffee's doing this or what, it was making her nuts or whatever. And I said, well, yes, Sissy's going through a rough spot. We're trying to figure her out again. We're trying to, get the dosing down. It's probably mom's fault, but anyways. And I said something, I'm like, but the thing is when you go through your hard times, we have to, respect that and know that you're going to come through it, right? Sissy always comes through it. This isn't, but it's a constant reminder because you're right. Two steps forward, one step back. And they say that, but when there's four of you at different levels, it's the zigzag. And then if all four of you at the exact same time are good, I'm like, oh my God, let's not waste this day. Let's do something.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it does. It like honestly, those days where it's like everybody's good, we're all in a good place, nobody's grumpy, nobody's having an aggravation, nobody's in their like weird little dance here. Yeah, we own that day for like all it's worth, you know? We milk it and we're all on the same page about it. But I feel like most of the time, it's like we've all taken different dance classes. Like one of us is doing contemporary, one of us is doing jazz, one of us is doing tap, and we're all trying to like get on the two and four. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't,
That's so good.
nothing is working. And it feels really frustrating because all that we really want, I think, at the end of the day, if we had to boil it all down, even if we have to go through all of this really hard crap, like at the end of the day, all that I really want is like safety and connection for my family, you know? And I think when you've had that stripped away from you, like Pans and Pandas does in almost every facet of your life, it really does force you to major on the things that really do matter, right? And so, yeah, like on the good days, we, you know, it's like Make-A-Wish Foundation, but like on a smaller budget. You know, like what do we need to do to
Without
win?
celebrity.
Yeah, and we're not celebrities and nobody knows who we are. But you know what I'm saying? It's like we're gonna there it just forces you to enjoy life in a way that I don't know that I appreciated. I don't know that I really took the time to appreciate things as much as I do now, and I think it's because of what we've
I didn't for sure. My life's always
lived.
been about go, go, go and keep rolling. And part of that has to do, I think, with my pandas. That was my coping mechanism. I just keep going, right? Like I don't stop long enough to focus on it. This is just part of me, so I roll. Which, yes, in one aspect, I suppose is pretty strong because I still function, but it can be done better is what I'm finding out. But yeah, we appreciate the small things so much more. I mean, so many times I'm kind of a weepy person anyways, and I can be a softy, but things will just bring me to tears. And they're simple things that other moms don't see it through these eyes. Like, and I, in my mind, I'm like, wow, if any of them even knew what it took to get here, like it just means so much more. And no one ever will. And that's fine. I don't, it's not about recognition. It's just about knowing inside, like, this is amazing. My children, God, I just learn so much from them all the time, all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah,
You
I
are
would
right, though,
say.
that it's getting this dance on the same page can be really tricky. I think it's interesting and important to note about that because I feel like, okay, we're 4 years in and we've come so far. And to anyone else, we are fully functioning. I mean, we are like we are. I can say that too. But it's funny because I think at some point in this journey, we become perfectionists because I have never had a non-Panda's 11-year-old. Therefore, I keep striving for this perfection. And at one point, my dad looked at me. He's like, okay, at some point, like she's a tween. She's going to go through these things, and that's normal. And I have to remind myself, I don't know what normal is because
Pandas.
I've never had an 11-year-old. So at some point, when we talk about the zigging and the zagging, oh, I just did that to my dog. We have to back up a little bit, you know what I mean? And allow for some human normalcy stuff that. I don't know, it's weird.
Oh, no, it's so good because, yep, mine's 13 and I actually just had this conversation with my husband the other night where I was like, you like that thing that she just, that's just normal 13. Like that's not pandas. That's just, I don't remember what happened, but he asked her a question about this is so funny. I'm just, I laughed so hard because she'd asked for, okay, there was two different things that happened. One was that she had texted me at bedtime and she was asking me for like 10 extra minutes. And I was like, not tonight, because you have a really early day tomorrow and it's like daylight savings and all the things. And she goes, geez, can't you just let me live my life? And
I've so heard that
I was
before.
like, I am so glad she couldn't see my face, because she would have been so pissed off to see me laughing so hard. But I was like, I feel like I missed 5 years of her, and now I'm getting her back. But now I'm having to, she's in a big transition stage of her own emotional development. And so I'm still learning this new person. And also, this is, like you said, the first time I've had a 13-year-old. I don't know what the heck I'm doing, but I'm like, I reassure myself, like, if I can handle pandas, I can handle anything. Like, I don't know how I'm gonna do it, but I feel like if I can do that, I can do this. But there was another situation where, like, my husband asked her a question at dinner and she's like, I said, I don't want to talk about it. Jeez. And like, got up from the table. And he was so like, does she need her remedy? Like, and I'm just like, I mean, if there's a remedy for being 13, bring it on. But I don't think that's the issue. And so, and it is hard, because I think part of the unwiring or the rewiring that we have to do in this process is that we've had to watch everything, right? Every symptom, it matters. Every display of their behavior matters. Every mannerism, how they respond when they're ragey. What do their hands look like? Is their face red? Like, we're used to just like, we're like that scanning machine that's like, boop, up and down. All the time. That's what our brain is doing all of the time. And so to pull out of that and just kind of relax into normal and not be over assessing and perfectionistic, gets hard. I don't think I've figured that out yet. I still have moments I'm like, it's almost like, I don't know, probably just a certain level of hypervigilance, honestly. Because we don't know what normal is. I've never, I mean, my 8-year-old is fairly neurotypical, normal mostly, but she did grow up with a panda sister. So there are other challenges with that. But I loved what you said about that, because it is so true. This is the really loaded question, and we may have to like split this up into a couple parts, but how, and maybe it's not as loaded as I think it will be, but how did having a child with pandas change your parenting?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Let me count the ways.
Yeah.
I think when you have a pandas kid, trying to decipher what's pandas and what's not is so hard. And I definitely grew up knowing the way things are supposed to be. And I've always been a people pleaser, even when I was a kid, only child. And so things happen in a certain way, and people are supposed to behave a certain way. And then I was gifted this wonderful child with pandas, and none of that looked right. And I found myself feeling very embarrassed at times, and I had to really work through that. That was a whole thing. And a lot of people don't understand that, right? Because you can't discipline pandas out of the kid. You can't therapy them out of kid, and you can't, because it's not a psych problem. It's not a choice. And so parenting looks really different. It looks really different now too. I mean, it looks different throughout the process, but pandas versus a non-pandas, right? It's just things that I never thought that I would allow, I totally allowed. When you're in survival mode, I mean, you're literally in survival mode. And God, and then you threw COVID in on top of that, and that was super fun. I always go back to this one day where I just left the house. My husband was trying to work, and I had the kids, and we were trying to do school, and then pandas, and it was the thick of it, the height of it. And honestly, now again, in hindsight, I can look back and be so grateful, because we were gonna have to quit school anyways. So everybody quit school at the same time.
Yay.
But yeah, I mean, I quit a career. And I just remember this day, my husband came over. He would do lunch with the girls, take him outside on the trampoline so I could have, 20 minutes. But this day I just left. I'm like, I'm getting in the car. And he's like, where are you going? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. When are you coming back? I also don't know that. Are you coming back? Don't know. Don't know. But yeah, no, you end up relying on, I mean, this is just one aspect, but relying on screens or whatever it is just to get through. And there's no disciplining because it didn't matter when she was in a flare. If I tried to explain to her or reason with her, it doesn't matter. But you know what? When she's out of a flare, all the rules we've ever had always came back. I don't know
It's the
if that was the same
weirdest
for you.
thing. It is, and it's so frustrating because there's no consistency for a long time, a very, very long time. Now, and again, like we're kind of pivoting in some areas where we're kind of trying to figure out the ground underneath us, right? But yeah, it completely changed my parenting, and this was something that we had to really like in the close relationships around us and those that felt like they needed to share their opinions about our parenting or whatever. I'm like, you cannot, like, I need you to think about this like she had a stroke. I need, 'cause you understand that. You've been around somebody that's had a stroke. I cannot parent the brain inflammation out of her. It's not going to work because this is not behavioral. This
Well, and
is.
society is not set up to understand or accept that.
Right.
It's different. Therefore, you know what I mean? I mean, how many people judge you when you're out and about and your kids having a whatever tan? I mean, for the most part, we stopped going out, but you know, when we started going, attempting or testing the waters, you know, and it didn't go so well, and then you get all the eyes looking at you as if like you're some crazy mother, and it's a wild
Hard.
journey. I mean, I think it made us
Absolutely.
stronger now, obviously, and you really don't sweat the small stuff, and especially going into you're at teenhood, I'm at tweenhood. But the eye rolls have started and stuff, you know what I mean? And like you laughed the other day, right? She says that someone else might come unglued and you're just cracking up. Like, I haven't had her for so long that I'm gonna let her say that to
I
me.
will take
Whatever.
that, yeah,
Yeah.
over like throwing something against the wall or
It's all relative.
no, yeah. I'm like, it's not rage, so we're good. Like, I
Right.
can handle the eye roll. And I'm like, this is, obviously we have boundaries and we have conversations about things and like
Yes.
what things are appropriate and what things are not appropriate, but she's teachable now. She wasn't for 5 years, and we did everything. I mean, we did therapy, we did play therapy, we did occupational therapy, we did physical therapy, we did conventional therapy, like everything that you can think that you should do. And to a certain degree, part of it was I just needed to know that I was trying things. Like, you know what I mean? Like for me, it was like I just needed to know that I, at the end of the day, I could say I was doing what I needed to be doing for her. But then there was always this reassessment of is that really benefiting her? And
Enough.
I kind of came back to the issue isn't the learning. The issue is the brain inflammation, because as soon as that brain inflammation goes and that symptom heals, everything's online. Like she asked me the other day, she was like, Mom, do you think I could read a chapter book on the way to school? And I'm like, yeah.
Sure.
Because I've been trying to get you to read books for like a long time. And she can read, mind you, but it was with the attention deficit stuff and the lack of focus and all of the things that came with that, it was not a possibility. So, gosh, I feel like we could talk forever because
I could
there's,
talk
like
to you
you
forever.
said, there's so many micro stories in the process itself. But the reason that I wanted to bring you on here is really to just give moms hope that, there is, it's not like there's an end, right? Because things will ever be evolving in how we parent our children and how we are healing from the journey. And I think to a certain degree, it always stays with us, right? But I would love to hear, just kind of as we wrap up the episode today, what would you say to a mom that's listening that is maybe kind of at those beginning stages of wondering if this is something that their child is struggling with and scared of the process and that kind of frozen fear, right? Of like, I don't know what to do next. What maybe encouragement would you offer to them?
I think the biggest thing that was offered to me, which is what I would offer to anyone listening, is just grace. There literally is no roadmap. Like Dr. Barr says, if you've met one panda's kid, you've literally met one panda's kid. They're all different. And I think that's why, again, this world or even Western medicine has a hard time wrapping their brain around this one, because you can't fix it all the same. You can't do all the same things. So be amenable to pivoting, be amenable to not doing all the things doing, like you said, like, and then just, start circling the wagons. Things are going to look funky for a while, but I feel like the sooner you dive in and allow it to be funky and not try to keep things status quo while the world is crumbling, you know what I mean? Let go of those things, rebuild from here, and then you're going to find that you're going to be stronger on the other side. You know, we're in a rebuilding process right now, 4 years in, really 2 years in, we were fully functioning, but it's still getting better.
Awesome.
Yeah, there's definitely healing. It's not, it doesn't have
Absolutely.
to be forever.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's healing and it doesn't have to be forever. And your life will be different. I think that's the thing that so many of us fear at the beginning isn't that knowing of like I know that like I don't know that life will ever be the same. It won't ever be the same. And I think that that's just a process of grief and acceptance that we kind of have to walk through over and over and over again, you know? But that doesn't mean because life is different that it's not good. Like I can say now, you know, with where she's at and her healing, like you can say, that it's good. Like there's so much good that we have in the day to day now that we didn't have before. And we enjoy those little moments so much more. It doesn't mean we didn't lose anything. It doesn't mean that there wasn't a cost to the journey. But like you said, you know, there is hope and there is healing and there are physicians and practitioners out there that want to help you and are really, really good at what they do. And so don't give up if your first try, you know, is this door shut in your face, or if it's the doctor's appointment that you leave and you still are like, that wasn't it. Like that still wasn't it. Like that still isn't everything. It feels very frustrating, you know, to have to walk that out, but we have to keep going for our kids and for ourselves, and there is healing for them and for us as a family because they heal, right? So, yeah, I feel like again, we could have so many more conversations about this, and like we could talk about marriage, we could talk about sibling, you know, there's just so many stories in here, but I just want to say thank you. I know there have been times I've reached out to you and I was like, for my own, I think last year I was like, I am in a hot mess situation. I just need your voice. Like, just tell me, like, give me some perspective here. So I just want to thank you for you know, you're that to me, but so many other moms in the community. And I know now those that are listening that are going to hear that from you as well. So thank you for sharing your story and Poppy's story and your other daughter's story. I hope that, you know, if you're listening, that you feel encouraged by this. I'll drop some links in the show notes for how to connect with us, how to get in touch with Resilience Naturopathic. And, you know, sometimes it just helps to be able to connect with another mom that knows what you're going through. So thank you so much for being on today, Lori.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You are listening and you resonate with what Lori and I shared about our children's journey through pandas, our parenting journey through pandas, then I want to encourage you to go ahead and follow me on Instagram at Andrea underscore Freedom Ministries. I'm going to be sharing a whole lot more in the next couple of days, weeks, and months. Encouragement for you as a parent, walking through this journey, how to navigate the journey, and everything in between. So you don't want to miss that. If you are concerned that your child has PANS and PANDAS, I'm going to drop a link to the Facebook community group where we learned all about homeopathy and began our journey of working with the physicians at Resilience Naturopathic. And I will also drop a link to visit their website so that you can get the care that you need. Thank you so much for listening today, and I wish you the best.